Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning service in South Carolina with the Fishermen Ministry. Let's worship the Lord.
amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am confounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am confounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Mercy reigns, and never.
paradise. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love red, red, and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love red, red, and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love red, red, and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you.
I love the book of John. I particularly love the first chapter of the book of John. So, you know, I was in there, and I was down in the part of, you know, where the Pharisees, well, the priests come to John the Baptist, and they say, "Who are you?" And rather than butcher it, I'll go to John 1. All right, so the John 1 begins with who Jesus is, that he was the light of the world. And down here, all right, in verse 14 of John 1, you don't have to go there. We'll pick it back up in Isaiah 40. But, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him. This is John the Baptist. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So I was looking at that, and here you've got John, Jesus' cousin, which had to have been a tough one when John figured out who his cousin was. But John comes as the forerunner. John comes as predicted by the prophet Isaiah, and he's making straight the way of the Lord. And what is that? What is that making straight? And it's just repentance. It's just a repentant heart. Make straight the way of the Lord into our own lives is repentance. Go over to Isaiah 40. And this may be familiar to you because parts of this are in Handel's Messiah. You know, the Hallelujah Chorus, Handel's Messiah that you hear? Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins, for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And this is John's message. It is a message of comfort. You know, if peace with God, we're taught, is a cessation of warfare with God. And that begins first off with an understanding that we're sinners, and then to repent, what is repentance? It's a U-turn. It's an understanding and acknowledgement that we're just flat out wrong. And that is the hardest thing for a man. A woman too, you know, man and woman, because we want to be so right. You know, you get tired of getting corrected all the time. But behind this, and two, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. And likewise, you know, our warfare could be accomplished too. It could be a thing behind us. You got the flesh, that dead man strapped to your back, and you always got that. In this life, you've always got that strong pull to everything that, I mean, you know is wrong. Sometimes maybe you don't know it's wrong. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill made low. You know that if you commit to Christ, there's a leveling in your life. You know, maybe some of you are like, some of me, kind of up and down, you know, anger, depression, the occasional fit of violence in the past. You know, all that could be behind you. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock as a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And the balance of this chapter, it speaks of the glory of God and the strength of God. But you've got John saying, make a straight path. Accept the fact that you're wrong. Repent. For us to live in that state of repentance. And then The glory of the Lord revealed in Christ, and to accept that, and then he comes in like a shepherd. I mean, it's easy to see the harshness of correction sometimes and the kind of rotten stuff that follows what we do, but it says he'll feed us like a flock, you know, with gentleness, with peace, with everything that we seek. That's what I wanted to say this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Well, one of the things you were talking about, what John was sent there to do, and in that verse you read where he says, I just had it in front of me. No, in John 1, 23, said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as it said the prophet Isaiah. And one of the things that John was sent there to do was prepare. There was two things when he was preaching that message of the repentance there, was to get to the people to repent, to receive the Lord and his the way that he was going. The other thing was also was he was setting up the way for Jesus to fulfill all that which what his ministry, what he had to do down here for us so that we could receive the gospel at hand. Okay, so that's what John was sent there to do. And one of the things that we trust in is what Jesus did. See, we don't trust in, our salvation is not based on what we have done or how well we fulfilled anything. That's not it. It's about what Jesus fulfilled and completed perfectly. Perfectly. He was that perfect sacrifice. He was perfectly obedient to the Father. And he was the only one that could take away the sin of the world. The only one. And see, that's what we rely on. That's our only hope. That is our only hope. Because if we rely on anything else, it's not going to save us. It's not going to save us. And when I look at the promises of God, I mean, it's an awesome thing, the promises that He's laid out before us. But are we going to receive that promise, that salvation, that grace? We get in the way of ourselves from receiving that so much it's not even funny. Brad, you were talking a little bit about correction this morning and getting corrected a lot. It can get tiresome, but the thing is, it's a good thing. I mean, it can be tiresome, and it really depends on what your perspective is. Because really, if you want to know the truth, and you have a love for the truth, and you want to know the truth, then that correction is pleasing to you, and you grab a hold of that thing, and you want to go forward in it. It might not be fun all the time, right? But it's a good thing. I mean, I know yesterday I was talking with Brad a little bit, and there were some things that I was correcting him on, and it was justification and all these things just pouring out of him. But it still was, I mean, to the point it was comical almost to me in the midst of this whole thing, because it was just a very simple thing. And it's amazing the amount of justification that we go through. But see, that's not the place where we want to stand. And what you can do when you walk out of there, Lord willing, if you receive that correction, what you're shown is a better way. You were singing that song just this morning. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. All right, well, that's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. But one of the things for us to receive that grace, for us to receive the faith that he has for us, we need to stop justifying ourselves. We need to get shed of all that stuff. Even, you know, the truth testifies against us. So what? And what I mean that in the sense of where you find that place of repentance and actually turning it around, it's not one where you're justifying yourself. If you're justifying yourself, how can you receive that grace and that mercy? How can you receive it? Well, you're not receiving it because you think you're right. And he is wrong. Well, I mean, what he talks about in John a little bit further, and he goes in there, here's the condemnation. That men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If you love darkness, you rather believe that you are good and right and have it. And when your deeds are completely wrong and evil, than just to receive that grace and that covering and that mercy that he's given you. It's kind of like, here's forgiveness, here's salvation, here's all these things that I'm giving you is freely free for you to have. And you turn around and go, I'm not that way, I don't need all that stuff, because I'm right. Truth is, that's not the case at all. But see, you keep yourself, what you're doing is you're the only person that it hurts is you. You keep yourself from receiving that grace and that mercy and that gift that he's freely given unto you. And it's opportunity to yet get shed of all the garbage that keeps you from going. That correction is a good thing. I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, when you come to that place where you want to know the truth, okay, and you really want to go forward in the Lord, and you want all the good things He has for you, that correction you're going to cleave onto and you're going to rejoice at it. You're going to rejoice at it because it's one of those things where what your desire is to serve Him and be about what He has and to receive all the good things He has for you. So it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It really isn't. Now I want to kind of talk a little bit about... It was kind of interesting. I mean, I was talking to Brad a little bit last night, and we've been reading about David, and we've seen actually where we came to that point where David was going to be king, and Judah had anointed him to be king over Judah there. And that promise was made to David a long time ago, before that action actually ever happened. And it's an interesting thing is because... Could you just imagine? See, what we perceive in the natural as something you receive there is, it sometimes is absolute opposite of what we actually think is going to happen. I mean, could you imagine? You're told that you're going to be anointed king. I mean, from a kid, you know, Samuel picks David, or the Lord picks David out of all the brothers' stature and all these things. He picks David, okay, who's the shepherd out field that they had to go get because they didn't even think that he would be even on the list of them that would become king of Israel at all. All right, so and imagine now once David and he goes and he kills Goliath and that was an awesome thing, or the Lord kills Goliath using David. But could you imagine? And now all of a sudden you're getting chased down by the king to get killed. Not just like once, but like twice, three times, four times, five times, six times. I don't know how many times. It was a lot. Okay, and you're running away from him for your life. Okay, you come back and you have to go to the land of the Philistines. In that case, the Amalekites come and take your families and the men's families that are traveling with you. I mean, all these things happen to David. Does in any way, shape, or form in the midst of that look like David's really going to be king? I mean, is this really going to happen? I mean, in the natural, it looks like it's not going to happen at all. It really doesn't. I would be going and looking at this thing. Are you serious? Look at everything's going around. No, I'm like a dead man running, man. Or you take Sarah. You take Sarah for an example, and in the sense of she's like 90 years old. God promises that the seed is going to come through who? Sarah. I'm out of due time. How's that going to happen? Take Abraham for that matter in the same situation. Go offer up Isaac. Wait, hold on. But the promise was through Isaac. How is that going to be the case? You want me to offer him up to kill him? That doesn't make any sense. You see what happens in the midst of those things. I don't know how long that was off. Okay. But you see what happens in the midst of those things is that what gets glorified in all those things? The Lord Himself. And what is evident in the midst of all those things? The power of Him. His power gets manifested. His word gets manifested by His power. And you can see that that happens time and time again. And it's one where in our carnal mind. So we get corrected a lot. Might get corrected a lot. Because in our carnal mind, we have listened to this old carnal mind way too long. I mean, we're constantly judging and looking at the situation with our carnal mind. And the Lord's not, He doesn't want us to wear that cap anymore. He gave us His mind. And if we're walking by that old carnal mind, how do you expect to ever receive the promises of God? Because you can see very clearly, just through the examples that I set, that carnally, none of these things made any sense. And it was absolutely impossible in the natural sense. Absolutely impossible in the natural sense. But God is bigger than that. And through the midst of that, you hear in the examples of Scripture and the men of faith, you see, what? Abraham in there, right? How he, what? Staggered not at the promises of God. All right, you see Sarah in there. What'd she do? She believed the promise of God. Might not have been her first reaction. The Lord didn't care about the first reaction. What did she turn around and do? She turned around and believed the word of the Lord. And you see David. You see Psalms. You see his humanity, the things he struggled with. But what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And he believed that promise in the word of the Lord. You know what we can do? The same thing. The same exact thing. I don't care what's going out there in the natural. I don't care what the situation looks like. Have we not been shown time and time and over again, just in our own personal lives, never mind the scriptures, of time and time and time again? But in our own lives, where it looked impossible. Where it looked absolutely impossible for any of this to come about. I was actually kind of thinking about Hope and I a long time ago. And I'm staying at my stepfather's place right over there, which I was kind of hanging out there this morning. Thinking about him somewhat too, and I was thinking about me staying over there. She's at home with her mother, and we're married. We don't have a place to live together. I'm supposed to be head of the household. I don't even got a building for both of us to stay in with our daughter. This is interesting. But in a matter of a short period of time, the Lord just not did only that, which I expected, because I tried to rent a place. I tried these other things. I scoped out other ways of getting us together in a home to live together. And what happened was far above I can ask or think. Far above I can ask or think. And it's an amazing thing. That's not just happened there. That's happened over and over and over and over again in my life. And it's been an amazing thing. And all I can sit back and say, Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he's proven himself that I can trust him. I mean, look, when that thing was going down, I was freaking out, man. It was not a good testimony of me in the midst of that. I'm telling you right now, it just was not. I mean, I was freaking out. I didn't know how any of this stuff was going to play out. I'm trying to, all of a sudden we would be able to get the loan to get to the place that I didn't, you know, didn't even expect to go that route of my new home there. And didn't I was going to be able to get it, then I wasn't, then I was, then I wasn't, then I was, then I wasn't. And I'm going, what do I do? What do I do, Rick? What do I do? Trust God. What do I do? Trust God. All right, am I trusting God? I don't know. But did he leave me hanging? No. And there's a time and a place, and we talked about this a little bit last week in the Hour of Truth. There's a time and a place. What happened with the children of Israel? God, Moses came. Did they believe what Moses had to say? No. Did the Lord meet his word with power? Amen. And what I mean that is the Lord's word. It came through Moses. Yeah, that's just who the Lord sent to say his word. But it was the Lord's word that was met with power there. Was it not? Time and time again, to the point of the children of Israel, who do they blame most of the time for the things that happened? Moses and God. They just didn't say God, but really that's what they were doing. They just blamed the person they could see in front of them. But there comes time and a place, and the Lord proved himself to be faithful. And there's a time and a place where we just choose to believe God and the sufficiency of what Jesus did and being that perfect sacrifice for you and was raised up in power for you and being that horn of salvation for you. And we believe that personally. And that's just a personal choice we make. We just choose to agree with him. He's given us everything we need to go forward in him. I mean, there's nothing that can hold us back. Is it our... Is it our weaknesses? The word that comes to my mind is insecurities or... Infirmities, that would be another word, but it's not really the word I'm looking for. But look, it doesn't matter. Look, he died. It doesn't matter how short we fall from him. Look, God paid the price for that all. He paid the price for that all. He leveled the ground. He leveled the playing field. Because it ain't about you and your ability. It ain't about you and your faith. It ain't about you and your strength. It ain't about you and your incapabilities. It ain't about you and your lack of strength. It ain't about any of those things. It's all about him. And what he's done. He is well able. I mean, you're talking about the God who spoke things into existence. He is well able. He's given you his faith. He's given you his mind. He's given you his strength. It ain't about you. It's about him and what he has done and what he's able to do. And you know darn well he is able. He's shown to you over and over and over again. I don't want to be the first generation who does not receive that promise. I don't want you guys to be like that first generation who does not receive the promise. That's not necessary. It really isn't. But our focus has got to be on what he's able to do and what he has done. And what he has completed. And we simply agree with that and receive it. We receive it by not justifying ourselves. We receive it by agreeing with Him and just submitting unto Him. Saying, Lord, You're right, I'm wrong, I've been wrong. My way of doing things are terrible. It's very terrible. I can go through examples on that, but we ain't got enough time. My mind's pretty terrible too. But His is not, and that's what He's given us. So, yay, Lord, I'm wrong. But You're good. And I don't want this a part of me. And He has given you. That's the other thing that's so beautiful. Is He's given you the perfect boss. The perfect wife. The perfect husband. The perfect, and what I mean by that, the perfect in the way of giving you opportunity to grow in Him. To grow in Him. But He does not take charge of your free will. That's something He cannot do. He can't make you receive His faith. He can't make you receive His Spirit. He can't make you go forward in Him. See, that's a choice. That's a choice you make. That's up to you. And knowing that, for you to even make that choice to go forward in Him is actually still the gift He gave you. Because without Him, your soul is signed to this flesh, assigned right to it, married to it. You have no other choice. But He's freed you from that as well. So where is up the boast in any of these matters? None. And it all comes about Him. And praise God. Because I ain't talented. I don't talk right. I'm short and I'm not strong. And I am not freaking able. But that's okay, because I don't rest in that. I rest in that He's able. I rest in what He can do. And I rest in the comfort of His mercy and His grace. To fix all the screw-ups and redeem those. Because He is good. And that I can trust in. That is something you can trust. Let's not cleave that old man and the justification thereof and all those other things. That's what will happen with the first generation. They cleave to the old man. They would not let that old man go. They preferred it. Remember, they wanted to go back into the bondage. They said they had it back into the bondage. Better back in the bondage. Let's not go down that road. I went down that road before. It really stinked. And that bondage was really trying to kill me many times. And every time I turned to the Lord, it was the most amazing thing in the redemption that He's done in my life. And then every time I turned away from the Lord, go about establishing my own way, doing my own thing, because I want to be my own Lord. Oh, it turned out real terrible, real fast. I mean, it was a downhill spiral in the matter of months. Plugging myself right back up to the juice, man. It was terrible. Didn't think I was going down that road. Didn't think that's the way that would happen. That's how it turned out. Almost got myself killed a couple times. A few times, as a matter of fact. But God, in His grace, once again, it just showed His love for me and the people that are praying for me. And His faithfulness to them for my sake. I mean, praise God. Here I am. And He's good. So I don't care what's going on. I don't care how it looks. I don't care currently how it looks one bit, because I know that God is bigger and his ability is bigger and outweighs any of the things that happen. And some of those things that the enemy uses, a lot of times the things that the enemy uses to steal, kill, and destroy you is the thing where God's power reigns mighty. And he gets glorified, and you can see a mighty work done by his hand. I mean, when that host of army that was coming down to kill the children of Israel, that was not a pretty thing. That was Satan wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. He did not want that to happen, them to succeed in Christ Jesus. But what happened? They got destroyed. Not Israel. They got destroyed. Not Israel. So praise God. We have the examples. We have the examples in our life. We've seen how good and faithful he is. In him there is light and there's no darkness at all. And we can rest assured in him. And those corrections, all those corrections are is telling you that's the old man. Don't listen to him. That's that old way. Don't listen to that. It's just something else for you to put down and to pick up something good. Something better. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy paths. Well, he is doing his part. He is faithful. So let's take it, receive it, go forward in it. That's what he's doing right now. That's what he's doing to us on a daily. And if we're not receiving it, there's nobody to blame but ourselves. And if you've been in that place where you have not been receiving it, guess what? You can turn around and repent and start receiving it. Awesome, isn't it? That's an awesome thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I've been in that place where I had many times where I was not receiving it. Well, you know, all I had to do was humble myself, confess to the Lord that I was wrong, absolute wrong, about the way I was going and the way I was doing things. See, I wasn't receiving him because I was too busy receiving the old man. That's why I wasn't receiving him. And then I had to realize I was dead wrong. And then I could turn around and then I could start receiving him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the Lord's awesome. So let's start receiving that which he's given to us day by day. Amen. I think that's all I got. Thank you.
See? listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.